Hi, this is Evan Murray. Welcome to Music Industry Insights. You can reach me at evan@musicindustryins.net. evan@musicindustryins.net. Give me a shout, send me questions. Write to me, let me know how you're doing. If you want to do a podcast, if you want to sit down and talk about a region, I'm up for it. Let's do it. This podcast you're listening to right now is actually extremely interesting because it is about touring in Europe. Now, this company is called H2D. They are located in Kyiv, but they have partners all over Europe. They probably have partners all over the world. They are like, this is a concert and promotion company. So they will put on big concerts and they will connect with other companies and they will run big acts through big concerts. So they got investors. These are the guys that are happening. These are the guys that I'd be interested in trying to buy places in front of big bands. I would try to buy spots in front of big bands to open up for them. They've done big shows. Like these guys have like done stuff, work with Imagine Dragons, stuff like that, on and on and on. So these guys are in the hustle of it, right? These guys are in the hustle of the professional music industry. And the guy I'm talking to, his name is Sergey. I met him in Kyiv, actually, at Music Export Ukraine's event and Atlas Festival. Again, Atlas Festival was amazing, amazing festival. Sergey, I was on a panel with Sergey, actually, and I just found him to be enlightening. He just knows what he's talking about. He's been doing this forever, and he's a super nice guy, too. I don't want to reveal any more about this conversation. It's up to you to listen to it. But not only is he doing some really awesome work in Ukraine and Eastern Europe, but the man is connected. So listen to what he has to say. As always, take what you can from this, extract what you need, and enjoy it.
Friend and a colleague from Ukraine. His name is Sergey, runs a company called H2D there. I guess based more inside of Europe itself, but we'll find that out. Nice to see you, Sergey. Can you introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about what you're doing?
Hey, folks. Thanks, Evan, for having me. It's a great pleasure to be there here. The HD company is based in Kyiv in Ukraine. We are doing shows all around in Eastern Europe since 2014 from different variety of capacity from 100 to 10,000 and more. Due to COVID, I don't know, can I say bad words here or not?
You can do whatever you want.
Okay. Due to COVID, all the shows were freeze and so on, all this story. So we opened a new department in my company. It's called HD Exhibitions. So we are doing the touring exhibitions right now. It's more easier to work right now with them. So we are developing this field right now in Ukraine and in Poland. And I hope soon we will also cover a few markets on top of that. So, and now I'm owning two companies instead of one, and doing the entertainment exhibitions. So yeah.
So when you say entertainment exhibitions, let's focus on that for a second. Is that different?
Edutainment. Edutainment. It's the mix of education.
Education. Okay.
Yeah.
That's super interesting. So you got H2D, which is a promotions company, or a production, like you're putting on big shows, small shows, all these things. And then you have a second company that's based to educate like up and coming bands or up and coming industry people. Tell me about that.
Not exactly. The exhibitions, the first the part is the promoting company. I'm doing shows like the promoter, buying artists, selling tickets, taking risks, losing money, earning money, and so on. And the second department, it's pretty similar, but we are buying not artists, we are buying exhibitions. So now we are on around two exhibitions. This is the first one. The first exhibition is like Animal Inside Out. And have you heard something about? Is the plastinated animals where people can teach how the animal bodies work, how nature is important in our life, and so on and so on. So this is the edutainment. People are educated there, and also entertained. And the second exhibition we held is animatronics dinosaurs. It's called Monsters of the Sea, really loved by kids. The huge dinosaurs which are moving, and also our touring guides are explaining when this or that dinosaur were lived, in what period, what he eat, and also it's education. And it's really entertaining for the kids, because, you know, like a guy who was sitting all year with a kid inside your apartment, you're ready to pay whatever you want just to someone entertain your kids. So we are helping with it.
Wow, that's really interesting. So are you, with this kind of education initiative that you have, you're gathering people in a place, and then you're showcasing something interesting, like you said, animatronics, which are like, you know, robotic dinosaurs or something.
Yeah.
They get to learn about it. And are you also, is it also have a music element to it? Like, are you putting shows on with this, or is it by itself right now?
No, it's a different department. We are not involved in the music there. But we can buy or rent the exhibition, which will be involved with the music inside. So we have a few communications right now with the guys from Canada as well. And their exhibition is based on the music, on the sounds of different variety of instruments and so on and so on. So but it's different business, I guess, but really similar in production.
Right. And I mean, the thing is, you're still crowdsourcing. So you're still gathering people. Yeah. And maybe that even sounds like it could be inside marketing too, maybe. That's interesting how you, because I mean, you're gathering people all the time, right? So with your, whether you're doing education or shows, it's still like a public service, let's say. So that's super interesting.
Our goal to be the entertainment provider for all ages in 5, maybe 10 years, to cover the people with the kids, people who love music. So yeah, this is our strategy for now.
Now let me ask you, how old were you when you really got influenced by music, and what was it that influenced you, and how did you kind of get into this whole world of, you know, doing big, you know, being a promoter?
I think I was involved in music since I was born. You know, I was listening to music when my father was driving a car. Music were all around me all this time. And unconscious, I was always trying to be involved in this somehow. But when I graduated from the school, I was thinking about where should I go to get to the university. And I was not thinking about music at all. And my parents were pushing me to move something more strict and more fancy. So I moved to economy university. But on the background, I was going to shows, and I saw a few small apartments with the acoustic guitar where it was sold out with one of my favorite singer in that time. And I look at it on it and I thought, it's not so hard to arrange all of this stuff. So I think I can do it. And I was 18 years old in that time. And years after, I've made the same show by my own. And I thought, yeah, so nothing really hard. I think I can do it. And I was studying university in the midday. And in the evening, I was doing shows by my own when I was a student. And that's how it started. Right after the graduating from university, I thought, what should I do? And I decided to move to music business. And I started doing the shows bigger, and started my own company. And it was almost 10 years ago.
Okay, interesting. And so, when you're doing these shows, and I mean, you know, you're doing this 10 years now, you've seen, you know, failures and you've seen successes, and, you know, you've been all around that. So, you know, you've seen the little shows and the big shows. And as a promoter that's had this experience, to you, what makes a good show? How can you, do you have a feeling when you're about to do something with an artist that, hey, this might be really successful? Or you can think, oh, this might not be so good. What are some of the things that happens when you're you know, in the promotion business, that you, how you strategize to make a good show?
You know, there are two types of the shows. The shows when everything perfect matched, you know, I don't know what is the reason of this perfect matching, but I think it's just like symbiotic thing from the crowd, from the artist, and from the promoter, and everyone is involved. Because I've done, I don't know, hundreds of shows, but I know 10 of them which pops up in my mind when I say, when I remember, or when you are asking about what was the best shows and what was the success and what was the reason of this. I can explain, because I think it's something like alchemist. It's just like mixed of everything. But of course, the main receipt of the good show is just like hardworking, good analysis, and the good partners in it. So if you have it on your board and on your boat, the rest will be sorted out.
So okay. And let me ask you this, like, how does someone come to work with you? Say if it's like a, like, are you open to working with like private companies in different parts of the world or export offices? Like, do you take on a band first and want to develop them? Or are you just the guy who puts on the shows? Like, can you take an artist that isn't developed, or do you need to have some background on them for to put the show on?
East Europe is really specific markets. It's not working like, you know, in other parts of the world when you are just developing bands from the bars to the stadiums. Most of the time I'm checking stats with every band. If we have at least some fan base in our region, and I believe that we can develop it and grow it, then I'm starting to work in with the band. Okay. And we are working years, and I'm trying to develop them and to grow. And we have some cases when we were starting from small venues, and now we are performing in the palaces and arenas and so on. But it's not often works like this badly, because people in Ukraine is not buying tickets on the band that they never heard. It's not enough of that kind of people, you know. So yeah, we are mixing it, but most of the time we are trying to book the band who can sell at least some tickets.
Okay, so you kind of work, you're kind of the guy who, like, you investigate some bands. If you see something is looking good, you'll approach them and say, hey, do you guys want to do some shows?
Like, yeah,
some
shows I'm seeking. And sometimes we are mixing and cooperating with the export offices. We were working with the guys from British Council. They're doing their parties called Selector Pro event. They're inviting fresh blood from UK and developing them on in the Korean market. So yeah, sometimes we are cooperating with them and bringing band who is almost no name here. And people are going there just to see, because HTD is recommending to visit this event, or British Council recommended to visit this event. And we're developing this band and on this market. The next time we are bringing them with the tickets, with hard ticket sales show, and the sales are growing. So this is other strategy, but I think it's 5% of the show in the past period.
And when you say you're working in Eastern Europe, can you tell me like what the differences are in the different countries you work in? Like, do you notice a difference between, like, first of all, what countries do you do shows in? Or have you done shows then?
The main market is Ukraine. The second market we are working is Poland. In the previous, we were working with Belarus and sometimes Russia. Ukraine, Russia, and Belarus, or Belarusia. I don't know how it's spelled in English correctly. They are pretty similar with, you know, it's Slavic type of thinking. Approach of feeling music and the sales. It was really similar 10 years ago. Now it's became a little bit different. Ukraine became more focused on the local market, and the local artists are growing really in recent years. Poland is like a bit different from Ukraine and, for example, Germany, because it's something in between. They have their own taste, and they have their own. The reggae there is really popular. I don't know, in Ukraine, no one listens to reggae at all, except
okay.
You know, Bob Marley.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so the some types of music are more famous there. In Russia, for example, the old rock bands is still famous, and they are gathering crowds. We were partly involved in the Manowar tour, and they showed pretty good sales in Russia.
Okay.
But as I know, in the other part of the world, they are not so famous, like in Eastern Europe. And we have a sold out show in Kyiv with them as well. So yeah, you know, it almost depends from the concrete act and so on.
All right. And so when you say like you're checking out their stats and stuff, like what are your go-to places that you want to check on people's activity? Like what are you using for references?
I have a base of sales of previous shows, you know. So I compare, for example, I'm seeking for the rock band, and I've made 10 rock shows in the past, and I understand this artist is really similar with them. So I have this feeling on the comparing them. This is the first. The second one, the stats in Google and YouTube is really easy to check, to monitor. The stats of Googling, viewing it, Google Trends and YouTube charts, it also shows a good start. Since last year, we have a Spotify in Ukraine, so it also helped us to understand which act has what amount of listeners they have monthly, yearly, and annually. So yeah, this is the instruments, this is the tools we are using.
And do you think, like when you mentioned, like, you know, like in Belarus and Ukraine and Russia, based on the Slavic culture, they have a certain mindset kind of deal. And then in Poland, it's a little bit more Northern Europe mindset, I guess. So do you find that people in different regions are kind of, they kind of have like a certain, like there's certain trends, I guess, depending where you are. And is that what
of
you're
course.
Kind of, okay. So, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, like when you go into different places, things can change. But, you know, when we identify, like, say, it's a cultural trend or say like in that culture, it's more this way or that way. It's a little more interesting because that's more, you know, we're kind of identifying there. So, yeah, talk to me about that a bit.
I think that the reason is that for this is that the language, you know. Ukraine, Belarus, Russia talks a lot of on the same language or really similar. The Poland is has their own language, and that's why the new music and the new acts are spreading in the region on one language easier, and that's why English speaking acts are spreading all over the world also easier because you can understand it. So I think the first reason is the language. And also the top 50 trends in Ukraine are mostly acts from Russia and Russia-speaking acts, and also partly with the English-speaking. So this is the one of the reasons. Also the media, you know, they are sharing the same information also because of the language. Ukrainian journalists saw some use in Belarus and they jumped it and it's going back and forth with this region. So yeah, I think this is the main.
And I'm kind of wondering because it's interesting, like, you know, like in the, let's say in the West, like media has really kind of almost, you know, been demolished in a way. You know what I mean? Like it's really political based. The only media people get. So like there's not really any really. Oh, did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Okay. Here. There's not really any say powerful entertainment media. Is it different like in Ukraine and Eastern Europe? Is there still some powerful entertainment media there?
Not much, to be honest. We in Ukraine, I'll be talking from our major market in Ukraine. We have few music media which is covering, I don't know, 95% of the crowd, but people are mostly spreading music in the public. It's like we have a messenger here called Telegram, when you can make your own community to share music or to share news or to share something. Okay. It's like alternative of the Facebook and Instagram, and this public are really, really famous. There are a lot of those public. There are no bullshit, there are no ads. So and this helps to spread music more easily. And this instrument also kill the power of the media, because you are independent, you know.
It's in the power of the people, right? It's more in the
Yeah. 30 years ago, to post your album on, I don't know, Rolling Stones, you need to know someone from Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Now you don't need to know anyone. You can send this to this Telegram community, and they will post it easily, and everyone will know it. So I think it's a game changer right now, and I think it will be moving really fast. The guys from TikTok became famous in a year, or even in a month. You know, you've made a new track, which is like a rocket.
If it happens, it's so fast. It's not a gradual thing. Yeah. Like it's, and that's something I've talked to about artists with too. With the what I've noticed, because I've been paying attention to some artists in Asia, especially India, where they I've kind of been in touch with a girl who skyrocketed in success. Like within a one video, it went viral, and that affected her whole life. And so, I mean, it's so different than, you know, releasing tracks, building. It seems more to me nowadays, fame comes from one single event. Like something will happen, and all of a sudden that artist will be boom into the atmosphere. You know, like it's not a gradual thing. Like it's not where people like, oh yeah, we toured a lot, we did a lot, you know, we put our dues in and we made this fan base in 20 years. Like I see it happen in one video. Like someone releases a video, something happens, boom. It's like it just happens or it doesn't happen. So that's super weird about the new world too, you know, how fast that can be. With your shows, go ahead.
No. Yeah. It's really hard to understand how all this works, you know, because some bands can be famous only in one day. And usually they don't know what to do next, you know. They became famous with one track, but they need to make a second track and a third track and a new album, and it will be not so high. And they are trying to guess what we need to do to make it on the same level or even more. Yeah. So it's really hard, because every schoolboy can put an album online in like every day. So the amount of information is huge, and only 1% will be growing. So the competitiveness is really hard, and this is also the challenge of the new time.
Absolutely, the competitive, it's astronomical what the competitiveness is. I mean, when you look at YouTube, like you have something like 22 million videos going up every day, like something ridiculous. But there's like 100,000 YouTubers that make over $10,000 USD a month. So when you think about 22 million videos a day, or something of that, something crazy, some crazy number like that, and then think 100,000 users in total out of, you know, I don't know how many people are actually on YouTube. It could be 200 million. I don't know. But 100,000 of them are making 10,000 USD plus.
Something.
Yeah. So it's, man, it's really hard to imagine how it even works. When you do big shows, let me talk to you about this a little bit. When you do big shows, do you do a one show, or do you take a band and you will go on a tour with them? Like, do you have shows, like multiple shows that when you plan, or do you just plan one at a time?
I prefer to plan one at a time for now, because we have some infrastructural problems in Ukraine. basically, because there are now not much cities when we can do shows. And most of the time we are cooperating with our partners in Eastern Europe, and they are covering the rest of the show on the run. So yeah, we are mostly focused only on one show, maybe one, two, three, four shows in Ukraine. And after this, the band goes to our apartments in other markets, and they're covering the rest. I think maybe in a few years, yeah, we will be like nation covering continents. But right, for now, we're...
And I mean, it sounds like it. Like, it sounds like you have good partnerships, and it's like a chain event, right? Where like,
yeah,
so if you're going to do a show and or your partners let you know, or you let them know, then you guys are working together to create a circuit, it sounds like.
Yeah, because we need to make our direction in Eastern Europe attractive to art, you know, because yeah, logistically, we are not in the best place. We are not Belgium or Italy or Spain or France. We are on the other side of the Europe, and we need to attract them.
Right.
And a lot of shows with different countries in Eastern Europe is the thing that could work.
And is it possible, say, like when you're doing your big shows, is there any opportunity for like companies or export offices to buy opening places for bands on your bigger shows?
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it works in that kind of way. Sometimes band is bringing their own warm-up bands. Sometimes they're just texting us, hello, we are a band like X, we want to play on the X support band, as the X support band, and we can pay a few hundred dollars. Can you confirm this? If the band is okay, and I'm sure that their music will be proper at this event, I'm offering this band to the act, and if they approve it, yeah, sure.
No problem. Where are you located on the web? Like, where can we find you, like on for your business?
HTD.concert on the Facebook and the Instagram, and HTD.com.ua in the web, like the website.
Okay. And people really can people contact you directly then to talk to you about this?
Yeah, yeah, you can Google me on Facebook, Sergei Maletsky. I'm me and my company and my colleagues, we are really open to cooperating. And yeah, feel free to contact me with any questions. I'll be happy to respond to you.
Well, that's great, man. And you know, like I wish you all the best, and thank you so much for spending some time with me. Like it's really cool information, and you know, really interesting to know what you're doing out there, and that you're connected to, you know, you're connected into other countries as well. And there's opportunity for people to connect with you and to possibly work with you and gain from that experience as well. And super interesting to hear about the other business you're doing too. I mean, it's the way I see it is always opportunity. Like whenever I know there's people gathering, that I always see it as opportunity for more business anyway. So
yeah.
But thanks a lot, man. I'll let you go now, and we'll stay in touch. Take care of yourself, sir.
Thanks a lot, man.
Okay.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure. Take care.
Cheers. Bye-bye.